Okay, it is playing, recording, in fact. So hello, my name is Sergio. I am one of the founders of School of Mystic Studies. Mm-hmm. And Catherine. And
hello, I'm Catherine Carl. I'm also an initiator of School of Mystic Studies. And also Peter Furco. Is also now a participant of School of Mystic Studies,
yeah.
as well.
10 seconds ago. So we cannot return this time back. Actually, we can. We can do a lot. But we have organized a large expedition of people in August 2006, where a number of architects, artists, writers, travelers, could join and travel between the 9 cities of the Western Balkans.
And this expedition we termed Lost Highway Expedition. School of Mystic Studies worked with Centrala Foundation for Future Cities, and this is the first project of Europe Lost and Found. And it was called Lost Highway Expedition because this route was roughly along the Highway of Brotherhood and Unity, which was a highway planned by Tito in Yugoslav times, but it was never finished. And just like the state of Yugoslavia was disintegrated and unfinished, so the highway was. So it became a good metaphor for not just looking at what's lost, but speculating about the future of this region.
And also we did this project because we also wanted to reveal existing connections between the 9 capitals, which have taken its own hands, its destiny in its own hands during the crisis and the war in the 90s. So the project was not about nostalgic connections of these territories, but simply about testing the connectivity between the cities, also not physical connectivity only through the infrastructure, but also the internet connectivity and virtual highways and everything that could be mapped out during the 1 month of the travel.
And now imaginary connections.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. A new layer.
So, what are we doing here? We have been asked by Neurotransmitter to be part of this incredible project on the ferry, and we thought that that we wanted to invite our friend Peter Furco, who is here, to actually who did not go physically to the expedition, to actually look at some of the selected photographs that we have from the expedition, and try to tell us what he sees. So Peter, go ahead.
All right. So I will begin, I know not where, because this area is not particularly well known to me. So I've obtained a wonderful map from the internet, so I can at least place some of these towns, which I've often heard of, but I'm really just going on hearsay and on my own visual sense of what I'm seeing. So the first picture that I have in front of me reminded me of the book by Italo Calvino, Invisible Cities, because it's a group of people standing in an empty field with cameras all pointing at nothing. There are these large rebar structures coming out of the ground as though there is a building there, at least in someone's imagination. And so this made me think to draw a little bit on Calvino's thought as I proceed. So I'll do that from time to time. So this first picture, which is in Belgrade, is of photographers squatting and standing in an empty field, looking out of the frame of the picture. Mm-hmm. The second picture is of surgeon, and the thing that struck me most about this, as he sits around a table with a map, is that he looks just like Sting in this picture. And but here they are in a map room, planning away. And so I'm going to go ahead and read this little excerpt from Invisible Cities by Calvino here. And I may be Marco Polo in this, and perhaps surgeon is Kublai Khan. Kublai Khan does not necessarily believe everything Marco Polo says when he describes the cities visited on his expeditions, but the Emperor of the Tartars does continue listening to the young Venetian with greater attention and curiosity than he shows any other messenger or explorer of his. In the lives of emperors, there is a moment which follows pride in the boundless extension of the territories we have conquered, and the melancholy and relief of knowing we shall soon give up any thought of knowing and understanding them. So, to add to the confusion, I'll move to the next picture. The next picture is from Pristina, which is in Kosovo, according to my map. And this picture is gorgeous, first of all. It's a building that is completely mirrored glass, and reflected in it are some building structures, a minaret-looking structure and an apartment building. And as I look at this, I can't help but think, with its fence running across the lower portion and the people walking by, that it's sort of a zoo of cities, so that the city is actually contained somehow within this aquarium of reflectivity, and the people are walking by as they would walk by some culture from the past. The next picture that I'm going to talk about is from Tirana, which is the capital of Albania. And this actually reminded me of a project that I'm doing that Kathy mentioned when she invited me to do this, which is exploring the non-economic value of globalization. And this picture is of a man in a fruit stand. The fruit stand, or vegetable stand, is on a traffic island in the middle of a road, and maybe the middle of a circular, and it looks almost as though this market used to be a grand market in the past, and yet it's been whittled away and whittled away until it's nothing but a place for him to sit, his few boxes of vegetables, and that's it. And maybe, perhaps, soon he'll be gone altogether. But I was going to quote Calvino here, because the other ambassadors warn me of famines, extortions, conspiracies, or else they inform me of newly discovered turquoise mines, advantageous prices in marten furs, suggestions for supplying damascened blades. And you, the great Khan asked Polo, you return from lands equally distant, and you can tell me only the thoughts that come to a man who sits on his doorstep at evening to enjoy the cool air. What is the use, then, of all your traveling? So I thought that was especially apropos to the transaction idea. All right. All right. The next picture is also from Belgrade, and it is amazing photograph. There's a structure, and the structure, the thing that first jumps out is there's a very large sculpture of a Buddha, and it's housed in this structure that's partly on water, or maybe it's all the way on water. It's a dock, and there are some cube-like pieces on either side of the Buddha, who's suspended in the air, with this lovely roof over the top. So as I looked at this, it immediately invites you in as being some kind of a temple. However, maybe as a kind of a Zen koan, you can't seem to get into this temple because the doorway is locked. So that's really great. This seems to be a whole host of contradictions in mm-hmm. this picture. All right. The next picture I've got is also from Belgrade, and it's a picture that looks like it's the base of a statue. It has some lettering on it, the official lettering, and then it's covered in graffiti. And the people in the picture are all around the base and looking up. So I can't see what is above, what is this sculpture. But I can read enough Cyrillic to have made out the sounds of this and plugged the English version into Google to see maybe if I could get some idea out of this without actually trying to figure out what it is. And I found a link, but rather than going to the link, just the description in the Google summary was so great that I decided to just read this as the description of this picture. And it says, Die gute Küche Mosaikkarte aus Georpa Belgrad, Autumn Osen Vechna. And then autumn is eternal. At funeral, at original Levi's jeans.
Unbelievable.
So all I can deduce from this is the reason everyone is looking up so intently is that it was the funeral of Levi's jeans and the statue is wearing no pants. So they're up there getting a good look. The next picture is also from Belgrade, and it's a piece on the water, and a sort of a floating restaurant or lounge. And I'm gonna jump back to Calvino for a moment here, because when Catherine and I were speaking about how could I say anything about these, it was clearly going to be based largely on my own thoughts about, you know, my life, right? And just bringing that to the images I see. So here, Kublai Khan is asking for more descriptions of cities, and Marco Polo says, "Sire, now I have told you about all the cities I know. There is still one of which you never speak." Marco Polo bowed his head. "Venice," the Khan said. Marco smiled. "What else do you believe I have been telling you about?" The emperor did not turn a hair, and yet I have never heard you mention that name. And Polo said, "Every time I describe a city, I am saying something about Venice." So here we have the Venice of Belgrade, and it looks very much like other cities I've been that have a large water presence, where there seems to be an effort to make use of the waterfront, even though when you look across, it looks like the waterfront is pretty grimy, run-down, industrial. There's a barge here, and yet there's some draw from the water, no matter how decrepit it might end up being. The next picture is from Tirana. And all I can imagine from this picture is that the architect had a tremendous sense of humor. The building looks not unlike you're standing next to a New York skyscraper looking up. It's modernist looking structure. Huge slabs of concrete going up, and some steps going up to the base level, and then some people. However, when you see the people, you notice that the orientation of the people doesn't make sense in the way you were first looking at the picture. In fact, they seem to be walking up the side of the building. And so you immediately have to reorient yourself to thinking this structure is going off at a diagonal. And in the frame of what I have, I really can't see to where it's going. But there seem to be dishes on the top. It's just a really interesting optical illusion. What is this building?
I'm not supposed to tell you, but I'll break the rules.
We can break the rules on
yeah.
this one.
Yeah.
The Enver Hoxha's pyramid.
Uh-huh.
Enver Hoxha was the strong man of Albania.
Great.
And
I knew
the architect
that.
Is his niece.
The architect is his niece, yeah?
Oh, that's great.
All the family.
So while we're in Tirana, which seems to have its share of curious architecture, this building knows which way it's going. It's an apartment building, I would guess. And it has this completely green facade with windows and balconies and arrows. Probably 40 arrows all pointing in the same direction. And they seem to be made of paint or tape. They're maybe 2 to 4 feet long, each one, all pointing off to the right. So I don't know if that's a political statement. If you're in the building, I guess they're pointing to the left. But this is a really fascinating photograph. I can't wait till we go off the air and I can find out what these are. Okay. The next picture, I'm going to quote Calvino again. Kublai Khan had noticed that Marco Polo's cities resembled one another, as if the passage from one to another involved not a journey, but a change of elements. Now from each city Marco described to him, the great Khan's mind set out on its own, and after dismantling the city piece by piece, he reconstructed it in other ways, substituting components, shifting them, inverting them. Marco, meanwhile, continued reporting his journey, but the emperor was no longer listening. Kublai interrupted him. From now on, I shall describe the cities, and you will tell me if they exist and are as I have conceived them. So this next picture, I would say, if I imagine a city in which all of the architecture draws from different painting styles and then are thrown in a blender, what would you have? This is in Pristina, and this building looks like a cross between surrealism and cubism. Really brilliant colors, and against a beautiful sky, wires running every which way, which I don't know if that's true throughout Yugoslavia. I know when I was in Russia, it really struck me how many wires there are everywhere. And then right next to this building is a piece of history, an old multiple-story, multiple-balcony, kind of folk architecture-looking piece. You know, it's one of those things where, did you notice anything next to where you were building your building? It's really fascinating. You know, it's like a Disneyland of architecture kind of an idea. Great. And then staying, no, this is Tirana again. We have another building, I guess Tirana was also the one with the arrows, is that true? Yes. This building also makes use of the facade in interesting ways. It reminds me a lot of this fashion that was big in the 70s of making patchworks out of different colors of leather, and this whole building seems to be patchwork of plates all stuck together. And then directly next to it is kind of a corrugated shape, different colors on the top, bottom, just a real freedom in the use of color here. that would probably never pass any kind of quality of life codes in the U.S. But really fun to look at. Okay. All right. We're back in Belgrade. And I guess in keeping with this idea of Kublai Khan inventing a city, imagine a city in which if you spun around really fast, your whole life would appear on a big red plate, and then it would vanish. This is a really fun picture. There's a blur to the subject, the people in the middle. And on the wall is this schematic that's probably a route, but to what, I have no idea. There are lots of sort of molecular structures around, and you know, maybe she's mapping the dance that they're doing in the middle. Really tremendous space, and it looks like a kind of a warehousey space, but with this perfectly painted big red wall. All right, and here's something I actually have heard of. This is in Macedonia, right? No, Skopje. Yeah. 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 Okay. It's a gas station, Balkan Petrol, right next to this very elaborate residential structure. And one can only guess that, you know, here you get points for your building if it looks like it could be the top of a very elaborate cake. The residence is very ornate. I actually heard a story that there was some kind of initiative to help build gas stations in Macedonia. I'm not sure if that's actually accurate, but I'm going to put it on this picture. That this might be one of those excessive number of gas stations in Macedonia, because you could get money to build one. So lots of people did. All right. Now, this is a whole different kind of color in Skopje also. This looks to be a war zone, if not a zone of, you know, economic decay. I'm going to guess this is a mosque, and there are two minarets that are broken on the top. Tops are off. Lots of garbage laying around. Another beautiful photo. All of these are really lovely shots. And the evening sky, the mist surrounding gives a real quality of a place that's in transition, I would say. Hopefully coming out of a bad place, and you know, maybe in that case it's the dawn instead of the sunset. But there are no people in this shot, which adds to that desolate quality. All right, I'm going to read one last piece here that's maybe appropriate to that last photograph. This is relative to this photograph taken in Tirana also. This is two men, a younger man and an older man. They're standing in front of two structures that look kind of conceptual. They're the Aristotelian or Platonic structures here. But the Calvino version of this will be Kublai Khan. Perhaps this dialogue of ours is taking place between two beggars, nicknamed Kublai Khan and Marco Polo, as they sift through a rubbish heap, piling up rusted flotsam, scraps of cloth, waste paper, while drunk on a few sips of bad wine. They see all the treasure of the East shine around them. Polo's response: perhaps all that is left of the world is a wasteland covered with rubbish heaps, and the hanging garden of the great Khan's palace. It is our eyelids that separate them, but we cannot know which is inside and which outside. All right. What else do we have here? Okay, so the next photo I'm looking at is on the road from Skopje to Tirana. And this next little few pictures, I think, really, they could be a little story about a lost highway all in themselves. Here we are on a highway, it's dark. You could get lost because the sunset is so beautiful over the mountains here that you forget to take the correct turn off the road. And so you're driving along, not knowing where you're going. But it's so beautiful that you probably don't care. And then you run out of petrol because the process that allowed too many gas stations doesn't extend to this part of town. And so the next picture I'm looking at is two women walking down the street because their cars run out of gas. And there's an arrow that's telling them which way to go here, luckily, so they can get back to the highway and no longer be lost. Another beautiful shot, very hilly country, great vistas. The two women find themselves a tractor in the next photo, but they've been kicked out of the tractor by this gentleman in a striped shirt who's taken it for himself. He's now riding along the lost highway, and the terrain is getting even more dramatic. The rocky mountains, you can see where an edge is sliced in the mountain that's far away on the other side. So imagine we're winding our way around, and we see where we will arrive probably in 20 minutes or so. A beautiful body of water in the valley below us. And then as we continue on this highway, everything becomes lost, even our frame of reference, because probably the altitude is getting a little bit high, and you never know what you'll find. And in fact, we've just come upon a large mass of animals who look like sheep but have no faces. They're just the wool of the sheep, and a car trying to pass them. So perhaps when the car gets past, everything will become clearer. I would hope so, but they're very lovely, and I think they're on their way to becoming some really nice sweaters. All right. The next picture that I'm looking at is in Novi Sad, so we've traveled far, far distance up into the north of Serbia. And the photograph is interesting. I looked at this photograph and thought there's so many things one could say about it, because it seems as though it's a game, perhaps a soccer game. However, the drawing on the blacktop on which they're playing has such a look of star charts, orbits, and delineations. So we could also be mapping out the journey that everyone's on, where we'll go next, maybe consulting with the astrology of the landscape or of the soccer field, where the ball might go and which direction we might turn in next. And then I come to our final photograph, returning once again to the Venice of Belgrade, where very invitingly is a small structure floating in the river, a wobbly-looking dock walks out to this platform with the structure. I'm sure there's some good refreshment inside that structure, and for when we're all rested and ready to move on to the next journey, the boat is next to the dock waiting to take us there. Bon voyage.
Thank you, Peter. That's amazing. Amazing. It's so wonderful to go on this journey again, but in a completely different direction with you. And the things that you noticed were really wonderful. Some beautiful things. And actually, things that in a certain way make a lot of sense, too. And I think the images, the places really are speaking in a certain way. Which is great to see.
Which is what you said, that you hoped that this experiment would bring about.
Reveal. Yeah. Do you want to look back at some of them?
Sure.
And say, there are a couple things I was thinking about commenting on. Do you want to comment? We can let it go. Let it go, and then we can,
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe you have some questions.
And maybe
now.
You have questions as well, too.
But you actually are much better prepared here than we were on the road.
Exactly.
I thought of that a lot. That if I were traveling to these places, I would probably have the exact reaction there.
That's the thing, right?
Until you read the sign that's attached to it, right. Or your tour book.
You come upon these things and you have no idea. And frankly, this one with the arrows, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. This building, it's green building with all the yellow arrows. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what the yellow arrows are. Exactly. However, this whole program in Tirana, it's actually a very specific program of the mayor to paint the buildings in incredibly bright colors. Do you want to talk about that a little
bit? Yeah, the name of the mayor, he's also a painter, mm-hmm. Eddie Rama. He became very known by getting city money into trying to paint illegally built buildings. So he would, to make them also part of the economy, because they are part of the economy. So he would paint with the city money legal buildings with single color, and he would use some deconstructivist pattern for illegally built buildings. So everybody was part of one single city. And everybody loved it, and then this turned into a larger art program where artists like Olafur Eliasson could be invited to paint a building in Tirana and do whatever they want with it. I think Eddie Rama himself painted quite a lot. It's not known how many, but it is the sort of gives the city this identity which no other city has in the area.
Exactly.
And where identity is extremely important at the moment.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And the other part that's really striking is the green space,
right.
In fact, because if you see the larger context of the city, it's not the cleanest, most pristine place on earth, and that the other part of this painting initiative was actually cleaning up. Cleaning out illegally built buildings that had actually blocked, completely choked this river Lana. And so now it's actually a very nice central green space. And there are a lot of other green spaces in the city that were developed also because of this idea.
And this is a reflection of this, correct?
And this, for example, this is in Pristina, which is a different story.
Mm.
In fact, here there is a big emphasis on the mosques. Mm-hmm. On that sort of identity, and of not, you know, well, here in Tirana you see the mosque being relatively untouched.
Right.
But here in this kind of new mirror glass architecture, it's the architecture you cannot really find in Tirana. So somehow Pristina has its own different way of being special, being different,
and
distinct.
I loved what you said about that it almost looked like a zoo of architectural styles or the Disneyland, and that's exactly what Pristina is. It's amazing. People have, they've just initiated on their own styles completely, and it's really very free. And this, in fact, this kind of constructivist, cubist, futurist one, surrealist one is...
I called it the Bugs Bunny house.
This is one of the embassies. There are embassies. This is a whole neighborhood of embassies, which is a bizarre representation.
Built by Kosovo Frangieri.
That's what it looks like. And then just the other
Oh, the Buddha. The floating, it's so interesting that you brought up Venice and the, in terms of, from Calvino, because we had terms for each of the cities, and for Belgrade, our partner in the city, in Belgrade, wanted to explore the notion of Belgrade as a sin city. And so it actually goes very well with Venice, and also huge contradiction with Buddha, and the floating. But it's very much about the allure of the water, the floating world, and
but this is escape. Basically
it's really about escaping.
This is basically a quote of one of the discotheques on the river, which is playing loud turbo folk music.
Wow.
Where identity doesn't really matter. You can put a Buddha, or you can put Nehru, or you can put.
Doesn't so everything is.
It's basically everything is constrained into this turbo culture and very glitzy.
Any ideology can be inserted into another. It's completely.
Men in chains.
No, there's no kind of value. Inherent at all. It's completely floating. Everything is floating, and it's and there are many, many, many of these all day long.
Wow. This photograph here that you said looks like in a war zone. It's in fact the country where there was no war. In fact, Macedonia, and this is a mosque being built in a gypsy part of town, which became famous because it was always a scene for Kusturica's movies. It's called Shubka. And just everything is in a kind of state of, you don't know which way it is actually going.
Right.
Like you said, you don't know if it is dawn or the evening. It is an evening here, but looking at this mosque, you have no idea whether it is being destroyed. Or whether it is being built, because the rebars are projecting, you can see the minarets being formed, and all the trash around.
Right.
It's kind of a frozen state of construction.
Right.
It's not moving at all now. And
this monument, where everybody is looking up onto the Levi jeans, as you said, it's actually one of the only two buildings that Milosevic had commissioned during his reign. This one is at the end of his career. It's actually called the Monument of the Eternal Fire, which this inscription says. But it's already being vandalized and graffiti painted. And in fact, it's in fact built in its one third of its size, because he ran out of money and there was some time constraints, and it had to be shown. Had to be a monument that will show the victory of Serbia over the world and the NATO. But it's a very funny monument, in fact, Eternal Fire, which was switched off immediately after Milosevic went. And now it's a place which is complete darkness, and where youth is getting together, and it is becoming one of these kind of like objects. And what is also interesting is that, in a way, it's in the park, and it was also known for an incredible amount of spelling errors that this monument had carried along in its plaques, including the, talking about Bill Clinton as the biggest enemy of Serbia, and so on and so on.
So it's great that you brought in the translation. It's so wacky.
So in a way,
it's actually
completely wacky.
The real problem of translation and perspective.
And rendition also, kind of being precise.
Maybe just this last one.
Right,
yeah, this is the interest. This is basically you are everybody. Photographers are standing on the foundations of the never built Museum of the Revolution in New Belgrade. And the rebars projecting out of what appears to be a grass lawn are actually rebars that could actually in fact be continued into a structure. It was supposed to be an immense structure with big, big open spaces, but again, will and money ran out, and it just was never finished and got occupied by nature.
Right.
And now you have this kind of
know, it really feels natural in a certain way, mm-hmm. that you have the kind of connection between construction and nature. But in fact, it's an unfinished museum mm-hmm. of the communist revolution.
That's great. And I've been thinking a lot about nature, spending a lot of time in the country this summer, and how relentless nature is at using whatever it is that's there in front of it, and how we are spending so much of our energy trying to destroy things, or our side effect of what we're trying to do is destroying things, and yet nature will just figure out a way to grass over it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Always coming back. Well, it's
almost all.
Yeah, I think it's almost all of them.
Oh, this is the stadium.
Oh yeah, just.
Oh yeah, the stadium. This is one of the kind of rare kept stadiums of handball, open door stadiums, in Novi Sad, and it is actually a place where the first punk Yugoslav punk bands played, 1971-72. Punk was very important for a socialist country like Yugoslavia. And today is basically an enclosed, it's kind of one of the endangered spaces in the city and in the country, because there is always a plan to replace it by some shopping commerce. And actually this part of a project that I'm doing with my studio, Normal Architecture Office, to save this stadium and to reprogram it and to turn it into a center for new media and recreation, together with KUDA.org, Center for New Media in Novi Sad. We had some success. The city is putting it on the map, and the urban plan has changed to actually keep it. And of course now there is another phase of getting money for it to be continued. But theoretically it's a place which is sort of in everybody's memory, but nobody really knows where it is, because it is fenced off. And what is interesting, when you come in, you see the fresh paint. So, because in fact, the guard is a very nice guy, so you can violate, you can jump over the fence, and he's just gonna give you the ball to play. So it's kind of the soft rules are being broken.
Right.
Actually, the tough rules are being broken by soft techniques.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the way that the change will happen. And this is also really a good example of your project as well, as the transaction, this non-commercial exchange and ways of kind of looking, in this particular way, looking at a space that never was meant to be commercial, but now everybody wants to grab it as commercial, but to see what the options are to keep it from being totally
open.
That there are lots of
opportunities.
Yeah. Exactly. There are all kinds of different values that can be ascribed to that place and played out there.
And actually, I did not know about this information that the Macedonian government is giving money. I would like to build one of the petrol stations. Because all that you see being built is not a petrol station, but somebody's house.
Right next to it. But this explains so much what you said, because when you take that road from Skopje to Pristina, it's unreal. They're just petrol station after petrol station.
I don't think they have petrol at all.
I'm wondering.
But they have a lot of spelling errors. This Balkan petrol is spelled with two L.
And I like the
so maybe
staircase.
Super 98 that you get is
right,
basically
right.
Some kind of 86.
Right. Right.
Maybe wealthy. It's super 104, which is impossible.
Turbocharged.
Great. Well, I was so sad to have missed this journey last summer, and now I feel like I'm a part of it.
Exactly. That's great. And you've even added to it. And added the things that the facts can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really, really beautiful.
I think there are a few more photos that you may want to know what they are.
Sure.
This photograph of the diagram of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually in an abandoned Turkish bath in Belgrade, which today is in a state of transition of ownership. In fact, its ownership is not clear, which makes possible for it to be used in a very informal way. So it's not a squat, it really is a kind of a blurry legal status, not
not unlike the blurry status of the entire region in a certain way, which then now today can be used for art salons, for film sets, for us to go in to have a project. It's sort of free space, interesting.
So is this your mapping your route?
Yes, it is, of sorts. Again, it's a really metaphorical diagram, but you can see NS, it's right. Really sad, and but you know, these other symbols, not sure what they are.
Right.
And I think two more. There is this photo, it's actually a photo by Kyung Park. And
excellent photographer.
And actually he went to see these two guys, a father and a son, and who are both building their own houses. Very pure Corbusian looking structures. And of course they're posing in front of their own structures. In fact, they all built four times as necessary because everybody is building for their projected family. But even doesn't matter if the father is building for the son his floor, the son is going to build the same floor for his father and for his for the future generation. So there you have this kind of inflation of floors.
And now how are they funding these kinds of building projects where they can afford to be so extravagant in space?
They're building them themselves.
There are a lot of family. There are a lot of family money, and there is a lot of what is it called when people work in foreign countries and they send money back. The remittance.
What are they called?
Remittance. Like someone has calculated a huge amount of money coming back through remittance, which then gets solidified into structures.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of economy that bypasses the official economy, but and it is only can only be noticed by, for example, how many not best Western hotels, but how many places to cash to transfer money are
Western Union
are in Pristina. It's just an unbelievable number of those little places where you know that the money comes then from.
So someone's working outside and sending that money, and the money is more valuable here than where they're earning it.
Exactly. So you can build so much more, and you can get so much more out of it. And they're also very straightforward structures, and they're building them with their own hands for the most part. So it's not that expensive.
And there are these two photos of one of the highway high up in the hills, and the two women descending. That's actually the road between. It's really in the south of Albania, and this road goes high up. And you are basically
you're
at the top of the mountain, and the road is very narrow, and everybody is driving Mercedes Benz from Germany. And they're driving very fast.
Right.
And so,
winding.
It's absolutely, absolutely spectacular sort of. Far away place, which is very busy in a certain way.
And this is
it's remote, but it's busy.
It's remote,
exactly.
But busy.
It's unbelievably surreal because you're driving along and you know it seems nobody's on the road. It's this tiny little road, and then all of a sudden there are a huge number of cars coming towards you, zip, 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 and then all of a sudden you're alone again, and then all of a sudden. Goats come out of nowhere, you know, and they're sheer drops, completely, with no guardrail.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden a goat appears, you know, from the bottom.
Yeah.
And then you'll be driving along again, you think you're alone somehow, and then there's a huge stand with all these women selling honey and, you know, vegetables, and you think, how did they get here? But then you realize, okay, they live here somewhere.
Right.
It's just because of the perspective and the, it seems like these sheer drops, you know, but this is a completely inhabited, of course, but you just feel like you're going in the middle of nowhere, and it becomes, like you said, with altitude, it becomes completely surreal. Oh, this really was true. Amazing.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you for the chance to do this.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Peter, for being willing to take the plunge. Yeah. And you brought so much to it.
Okay, and hello to Neurotransmitter.
hope it works for you.